Hey everyone, this is Jaron Hollis with The Believers Church. I'm so happy that you're here today. I want to thank you for tuning in and listening to this message. I pray that it inspires you, it challenges you, and it helps you grow in your relationship with God. Enjoy.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. So good to be in the house of God, isn't it? How many of you are thankful that we live in a free country? We're worshiping God as you want to worship, right? And if you're a guest here, you know by now that we love to worship. And we love to take the commands of David, lift up holy hands unto God, clap unto the Lord, shout unto the Lord. Those are all, a lot of people don't realize, but those are Davidic commands. They are. The Bible says to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. You can't get to God's house without going down Praise Avenue. One of these days, I'm just going to tear into about 4 weeks of what the Bible says about worship. Because some of you have been praying for a miracle a long time. Why don't you just worship your way into the miracle? Start bragging on God and watch what he does. I've seen it happen so many times. So thank you for being a great worshiping church. Give yourselves a hand. Would you do that? God bless you. We're going to take just a moment this morning before we start to pray for Asheville, North Carolina. Of course, we need to be praying for all the areas that were hit. But if I understand correctly, there were two dams that broke in the area that Richard Goodwin, the bass player, was saying that he saw people walking on mudslides that were 10 feet deep, even higher than that, where you were walking around the roofs of houses. Don't know how many people lost their lives, but we actually have the Gray family here. We actually have Elizabeth, which is Paul and Frances Gray's daughter, youngest daughter. She is going there to volunteer her time going in. And we just want to pray. I mean, they don't have any power. I mean, there's just so many things here. Why don't we just lift a hand and pray for them right now? Father, in the name of Jesus, as so many people rush to that area of the country to help, we want you to protect them. We want you to supply the water that's needed, the food that's needed. We want you to bless them and anoint them, God, and let there be a great recovery there in that area that has been so devastated, God, that it's going to take months, if not years, to recover from some of the bridges that were washed out and the things that happened, God. I want you to go to those that are still trapped and encourage them. Send angels their way. We just ask that you bless it in Jesus' name, and everybody say amen. Amen. Well, I'm so excited to be here today. I am thrilled to be speaking. I don't ever take for granted that you're giving me some of your time to speak into your lives and over your lives. And as a shepherd, that means everything to me. It really does. It's always great to see your face. It's always great to be with you. And I want you to know, on behalf of all of the pastoral staff here and all of the dream team here, which is about 170 people that are on our dream team, we all love you with the love of the Lord. And I think we ought to give it up for our dream team too. They do such a fantastic job in serving. So I think it's important for a church to be relevant. I think it's important for a church to be timely. I think that it hangs upon every pastor in America, especially now in the times in which we live. It hangs on a pastor to chew on the word of God and do what he needs to do to make it relevant and make it a right now word, right? So I'm going to preach today on the unforced rhythms of grace. Everybody say the unforced rhythms of grace. I turn your attention to the book of Matthew. And again, if you don't know by now, I love Matthew 6, and 6:34 says, "So do not worry about tomorrow." This is from the New American Standard Bible. "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." And I can't go there right now, but I do want to tell you that when you use your imagination to worry about tomorrow, you've pulled yourself completely out of the grace of God. There is no grace of God for you. Listen to what I'm saying. His grace is sufficient, but that's for the day. You need to understand this. You get off in the business of worrying about tomorrow, you've left the grace of God. and I'll explain that a little bit. All right? So these are the words of Christ. He's teaching you how to live a successful life. He's teaching you how to live a great life and a meaningful life. He's teaching you kingdom principles. You can't miss this. James 4:13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Isn't that positive? Church dismissed. You're nothing but a smoke and then you're gone. You're going to die. Go home now. No, I don't want you to go home now. I want you to understand that Jesus is trying to tell you that your life is nothing more than a vapor. The Christ-centered lifestyle is the key to unraveling all the mysteries of life. I'm going to say it again. Learning the art of walking a Christ-centered lifestyle, as He is, so are we in this world. As He is, so are we in this world. Okay? The art of living that Christ-centered lifestyle is teaching you how to live a great life and a big life now. So here's the first statement that I'm actually putting up on the screen. Jesus is not the I was. He is not the I will be. He is the I am. Okay? And listen, there's a reason that he distilled who he was into two words, I am. Three letters. There's a reason he did that. Okay? He didn't want you wandering beyond his name. A Christ-centered lifestyle is the I am lifestyle. And if you don't write anything down, write that down, that the Christ-centered lifestyle is the I am lifestyle. Okay? And again, the Christ-centered lifestyle is not I was. When I first took this church, people were mourning that the church wasn't like it used to be. I remember those hymnals. Oh, God, I miss our hymnals. But the Christ-centered lifestyle is, and we must learn to declare and walk in it because it's so important. Let the weak say, I am strong. All right? I am courageous. I am a child of the King. I am blessed. I am deeply loved by God. Come on. That is, now you're making a declaration that makes hell shake. Number one, they shake when you use I am. And then when you add to it that you're partnering with the I am. So listen to what Jesus said in the Message. I really love this. This is Matthew 11:28-30. Here's what he says. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Hello? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Now listen, the I am is saying, come with me. Get in lockstep with me. Walk with me right here, right now. Walk with me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. Some of you don't even know you've lost it yet. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, who? The I am. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. In this version, Jesus says things like, walk with me, watch how I do it, learn the unforced rhythms of grace, keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. This means it's all present tense. Not past tense, not future tense. It is present tense. Rick Ezell tells a beautiful story about a university professor that was invited to speak at a military base in the month of December. And there they met an unforgettable soldier named Ralph. And Ralph had been sent to meet him at the airport and bring him back. And after they had introduced themselves, they headed toward baggage claim. And as they walked down the concourse, Ralph kept disappearing, once to help an older woman whose suitcase had fallen open. Then he came back over with the professor and they started walking. Then he left him again and disappeared to lift two toddlers up to where they could see Santa Claus. Ralph comes running back and smiles and they keep walking. And again, he ran off and disappeared. And the professor looked around and he was giving some person that was lost directions. Each time he came back with a huge smile on his face. And the professor asked Ralph, said, "Ralph, where did you learn to do that?" And Ralph said, "Do what?" He said, "To be so helpful and considerate of other people." "Oh," Ralph said, "I did that during the war, I guess." Then he told the professor about his tour of duty in Vietnam. Before I tell the story, I wonder if we have any Vietnam veterans in here today. Would you raise your hand if you're in here and you served in Vietnam? Is there anybody? Anybody? Where? I'm not going to ask you to stand because I know you're having trouble with your knees, but I want everybody else to stand and give you honor for serving in Vietnam. I mean that. Russell Powell, thank you for the sacrifice. Thank you for believing enough in America that you served, and I thank you because my freedom, you paid a price for my freedom. Everybody say, "God bless Russell." You may be seated. So Ralph said, I guess I learned what I'm doing here at the airport. I guess I learned that in the Vietnam War. Ralph told the professor about how it was his job. Listen carefully. If you miss these next two words or three words, you're going to miss it all. He told the professor how it was his job to clear minefields and how he watched his friends get blown up right before his very eyes, one right after another. And here's what he said: "I learned to live between the steps." Wow. He never knew if the next step was going to be his last. And in order to not live in constant fear and anxiety, he learned to live between the steps. "I never knew whether the next one would be my last, so I learned to get everything I could out of the moment between when I picked up my foot and when I put it down again. Every step I took was a whole new world, and I guess I've just been that way ever since." So I'm here today to establish a really big way of seeing your life, one that seems to be ignored on a grand scale among Christians. Here it is. Are you ready? Jesus is perpetually with us. Turn and look at your neighbor and say, "He's always with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you." You see, this is the paradigm change we will need to embrace if we are going to be effective in this rocket ride to the finish that we're on. I don't know about you, but I'm watching things come to pass that I heard preached about when I was a little boy. And I'm dating myself, but I'm talking long before there was a computer. Long before. Talking about the mark of the beast and all of the things that are going to happen and the Euphrates drying up, and it is, and we could just go on and on and on. I wholeheartedly believe that we're in the last days. There's an old song, and it simply says, "It won't be long till we see Jesus." And I believe that. I believe that with all of my heart. So what we need to do in this very troubled hour, the Bible says in the last days there will be perilous times, and they are upon us. Okay. Did you know that there's been more money printed in the last 12 months than all the other years combined in the history of our country? Can I say that again? Do you know that there's been more money printed in the last 12 months than all the other years combined that they printed money for spending in the last 12 months? Did you know to just pay the interest on America's debt right now, it's $1.2 billion a year, and they've not touched $1 of the principal? I'm going to say something that might upset you. We've been robbed by an out-of-control government. Let me say it while I'm free to say it. Some of you are saying, "Oh, listen, separation of church and state, you can't do that." You need to go back and find out where that came from. It was a letter written, and the letter was basically saying that the state needs to stay out of the church's affairs, not the other way around. And let me go just one step further. the original 13 colonies, they had to sign up saying, I am a Protestant or an evangelical, or they couldn't even run for office. That's the truth. That's the fact. I don't care what they're teaching you and what they're telling you. Go look at your history. We are in very troubled times. Okay. So here's what you need. You need a message from a man of God that says, look, it doesn't matter what happens tomorrow. He's always with you. He's always with you. Listen to what I'm telling you. He is always with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is always there, and he is always the one that leads the winning team. Let me pray for you right now. Close your eyes. Father, I pray right now for an abiding anointing. Help us to abide in your presence, God. Right here, right now, teach us the art of being present. Help us right now, God, not to drift away through the power of imagination into the realm of past regrets or the fear of the future, but teach us to always be present and here and now in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. I got excited. I'm writing a book, by the way, and it's called As It Is, and it's all about the power of walking in the present. Let me just make a declaration right now. You cannot feel the presence of God if you're not present. It's impossible. You must be present if you're going to feel the I am. He is the eternal present. The only life you have is what you've got right now. You don't have life tomorrow, and you can't live life yesterday again. This is reality right here, right now. This is it. Okay? It's all you've got. All right, I'm going to go there. So anyway, I was so excited. I was driving down the highway. I pulled off of Bardstown Road. I live over up Bardstown Road, and I pulled off Bardstown Road, and I get on Gene Snyder. So I've got to go two exits, right? Like a four-minute trip. And I said, I'm going to be present all the way to church. And I'm driving down the road, and I'm looking at the clouds, I'm looking at the trees, I'm looking at the other traffic, and I'm thanking God for a beautiful day, and I'm so present, and all of a sudden, boom, I was in a nursing home laying on a bed, and I was alone, and I was dying, and there was nobody with me. And I was like, oh, where's Renee at? What am I going to do? You know? And then I just busted out laughing. I thought, you stupid devil. I only had two exits to go, and you had me all the way at the end of my life in a nursing home in a bed. That's never going to happen in Jesus' name. Right? But that's how the enemy works. I started laughing. I thought, wow, wow, wow. And I'm going to teach this today. Look at John 15, 5 through 9 with me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do. Can I just play on that for a minute? Apart from me, you can only do a few things. Hello? You can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch that dry up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done. How many of you are ready for a rocket ride like that? Just to learn. Okay, so understand the word abide there. It means that you're perpetually present, okay, and in a relationship that you're very much aware of. You cannot feel the heavy manifest presence of God without being present. Okay? My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. These are strong commands given by Jesus himself. All right? Let's tie the passage to another, and I'm hoping to illuminate secret things here in your mind. Look at John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. Okay? So if you want to know what the devil is up to, look no further. I'm not speaking in general here. The devil is very specific in what he's after. Here are some of the specific. The devil is after your time, your energy, your passion, and your joy. He's after your time, your energy, your passion, and your joy. Okay? He works very hard to kill your time, because if he can kill your time, he knows he is stealing your energy. And if he's able to consistently steal your energy, then he's successfully destroyed your passion and your joy. The psalmist said, "My times are in your hands." The psalmist understood that every day that he got up, all the time that he's spending awake, that God was with him. I just wonder if you have that awareness, or have we got into a terrible habit of drifting off into the thoughts of past regrets and the fear of the future? Listen to James 4:13. "Come now, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit.' Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow, for you are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away." You know what happened is it bumped me all the way back to the beginning of my message. It tried to take me back in the past. I'm all the way back around Ralph, right? Okay, here we go. "My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, so prove to be my disciples." Then he says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, or destroy. I came that you might have life and life more abundantly." And so here it is. The devil is after you. And he's stealing your time, your energy, and your passion. So, how does the devil steal your time? How does that happen? I need my helpers here. Where are you guys at? Come quickly. Okay. So I want you to understand that Jesus is warning us and telling us that we must be very present, focused. So every day when you get up, you should kind of start the day with, "This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." Okay, I can't relive yesterday, and I can't get into tomorrow. Pastor's already told you that if you get into past regrets, God is not there. God is the what? The I am. Okay, he is perpetually, eternally now. That's who he is. Okay, he's your I am. So every Christian's goal is to get up every morning and remind yourself that yesterday is gone, tomorrow is not yet, and that you've been given the grace to live today. You've been given enough grace and enough mercy. His mercy is new how often? Come on, you can do better than that. His mercy is new how often? All right, I want you to get this right now, that every morning your job is to get up, thank God for his mercy, thank God for his grace, and try to stay in the present. Why? Because it's only in the present that you feel the presence of God. So what does the devil do? The devil comes and the devil starts pulling on you. He starts pulling on your present situation, and he pulls you right out of your present situation, and he puts you in the regrets of the past. And here's what happens. When he gets you in the past, he will hold you there, and you are losing and leaking the present by being in the past. You've used your imagination and you're there, and now the clock is ticking. You only have so many seconds a day, so many minutes a day, so many hours a day, and the clock is ticking. And you are losing the ability to sense the presence of God, the power of God, the love of God, the anointing of God. You have completely lost your ability to abide in his presence. You're not there with him. There's no way you can sense him because you're regretting things that happened to you in your past. Can I tell somebody right now in Jesus' name, you are not your past. Let him go, devil. You are not your past. This is a brand new day for you. Have a seat, young man. This is a brand new day for you. I don't care who you are, where you've been. I don't care what your pedigree is, what your education is. I don't care what happened to you. I do care what happened to you, but it's all in the past. It's under the blood. You are a new creation. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Hey, this is the first day of the rest of your life. I know you've heard that before, but this is the first day of the rest of your life. Let go of all the baggage. Let go of all the baggage. Refuse to go. Listen, Some of you wouldn't dare touch a cigarette. Some of you wouldn't dare drink alcohol. Some of you wouldn't dare cuss. I pray all of you wouldn't dare commit adultery. But you'll wander off into past regress and beat yourself up. And the devil knows if he can get you out of the present and into the regrets of the past, he's got you right where he wants you. Let me tell you what he's done. You ready? He's turned you into a now zombie. You are absolutely worthless. You are absolutely lifeless. You can't enjoy the presence, the power, the joy, the promises, the permissions of God. You can't enjoy any of that because the devil has you in past regrets. And then there are those of you that you don't have a problem with past regrets. You really did put everything you've ever done under the blood. And you let it go. So he doesn't have a problem pulling you into the past. He has a problem pulling you into the past. He doesn't have a problem pushing you into future, the fear of the future. So now he's got you right where he wants you. Here you are. It's a beautiful day. We're having a great time. We love each other. What a great church of unity this is. What a great church of excellent worship this is. And some of you aren't even here. You're worried about your checkbook next week. You're worried about your job and what Hitler's sister is going to say to you on the job. You stay with me. You're worried. What if? And there is a fog that comes over you and a forgetfulness, because here's what happens. When you use your imagination, and listen very carefully to this, Pastor, when you use your imagination to wander beyond the boundary of grace and get over into this area of future worry, you lose the grace of God and you never imagine God being with you in the future. Listen, almost everybody under the sound of my voice, you listen very carefully. The devil's got you well trained. You'll worry about stuff and you can't see God at all in the future. Why? Because he's not there right now. He's with you here. And this is why you've got a right to jump up and say, shut up, devil. I'm not in tomorrow. I'm not into next month. I'm not into next week. Come on. Get back over here in the presence. Take your stand. Make sure you stand your ground. This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad. And he's not the I was. He's not the I will be. He is the great I am. He is the great I am. I refuse to worry about tomorrow. It's not kingdom business. The only place you're going to find the kingdom is right here, right now. This is it. This is it. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it so much. Resist the devil. Don't let him have your energy, your abiding energy. Don't let him have your right now abiding energy. Listen to this statement that was written, I think, in 500 AD. My life has been full of terrible misfortunes, most of which never happened. Go ahead, that's fine. You can laugh. If you caught it, you can laugh about it. My life has been full of terrible, listen to what he's saying. My life has been full of terrible misfortunes, most of which never happened. Here's what he's telling you. He's telling you that he's here and everything's fine. He knows where his next meal's coming from. He's got a job. The Lord is with him. But all of a sudden, something gets a hold of him. And in his imagination, he goes over here and all these evil misfortunes. What if? And he spends most of his present time worried about terrible misfortunes, which probably are never going to come to pass. Nice thought, Pastor, but I need the facts. Well, I'm glad you asked. In a study, subjects were asked to write down their worries over an extended period of time, a couple of years, maybe 3 years, and then identify which of those imagined misfortunes did not actually happen. So they were saying, look, carry a little pocketbook with you, carry a notepad with you. Anytime you start imagining something bad happening, you write it down. Write down when you thought it, date it, time of day, night, evening, morning, whatever. Write down when you thought about this terrible misfortune that could come. Then they came back after a long period of time and said, okay, we want you to count up all the misfortunes that you imagined. How many of them happened? It turns out that 85% of what subjects worried about never happened. Did you hear me? 85%. Now listen, and with the 15% of the worries that did happen, 79% of the subjects discovered either they would handle the difficulty better than expected, or the difficulty taught them a lesson worth learning. This means that 97% of what you worry over is not much more than a fearful mind punishing you. That's why the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not that it affects God in the least. It affects you. It's attacking you with fearful thoughts that are never going to happen, never going to come to... Are you with me? It's an evil mind punishing you. What do I mean by evil? Am I calling your mind evil? No, but I'm saying there's something whispering in your ear and using your mind as a tool to imagine evil things. Are you with me? That's how the devil works. The devil comes in and says what he said to Adam and Eve in the beginning. Hath God said. Hath God said. And you go, oh, wow, I don't know. You see, God wants you to live this day. And he wants you to live this day abundantly. I'm going to say it again. You cannot experience the presence of God unless you are present. You have to be intentional. When God started teaching me that he was with me, man, I wished I had time to tell stories. When God started teaching me that he was with me, it was mind-blowing. He would teach me that he was with me, but before the day was over, I was back in past regrets or fear of the future. You cannot do anything about the past. Make Jesus the Lord over your past. Do it right now. Be intentional about it. Is there anybody here that will be honest enough to admit that from time to time you think about something that you did or something that you said, you know what I'm talking about, and you think, man, I hope nobody ever finds it. Okay, let me say it differently. Is there anybody with skeletons in your closet? You're hoping nobody ever finds out. You're hoping nobody ever finds out, right? You know what I'm talking about? Why don't you give that to Jesus right now? Why don't you tell hell right now you're not going to fall for it? That you don't serve the I was, you serve the I am. All right? Why don't you tell the devil, my entire past is under the blood? You say, Pastor, give me Bible. I already did. His mercy is new every morning. You're a brand new creature every morning. It's like you get a do-over for the golfers. You get a mulligan. Why don't you just raise your hand right now? Father, in the name of Jesus, there's someone here and they're locked into their past. They are a now zombie. They're not aware of your blessings. They're not aware of your presence. They're not aware of your love. They're not aware that they're caught up in yesterday. They lost something yesterday. They did something that is stealing their present moment with you. They have lost their abiding anointing. I pray in Jesus' name right now, you will cover every fault. God, I love every person in this room, and I want you to cover every fault and every sin, no matter how grievous. I want you to cover it with the blood right now. And then take away the power of the enemy to whisper in their ear. And I want you to put a grace in them right now that says, not today, devil. This is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice in it. Another way that he gets you to be a now zombie is that he causes you to fear the future. You do not need to fear the future because Jesus is already there. Don't worry about your future. God releases your future to you moment by moment, day by day. In Jesus' name, live abundantly. You know, I've got some someday zombies here. Someday I'll be happy. I usually find it among men. They're like, yeah, I go to work and work 50 hours a week for the man. Someday I'm going to be retired. Someday I'm going to be happy. Someday I'm going to be able to relax. I meet them all the time. Say, hey, man, what about today? No, but I got a day coming. I've got a savings account. I've got this. I've got that. No. What about today? What about today? What about today? Can you see all there is to see today? I'm not talking about you becoming anxious now. Can you see all there is to see today? Do all there is to do today? I'm not saying be frantic. I'm saying be present. Notice everything around you as you go at a carefree pace, worried about nothing. I want everybody to just take a great big deep breath right now. Come on, breathe as deep as you can. Drive it all the way down to the bottom of your lungs. Just keep inhaling. Some of you just breathe in and breathe out real quick. Don't do that. I'm trying to teach you how to be present. Now let it go before you pass out. Just go ahead and breathe out. Do it one more time. Breathe in. Kind of square your shoulders, but relax at the same time. Breathe out. One more time. Shoulders back, head slightly up, smile on your face, breathe in real deep. And then breathe out. And as you're breathing out, say, Jesus, I love you. Now wait. Because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. You can't wait there. And you can't wait there. You have to be intentionally present. Renee and I went on a cruise ship. I believe it was when my brother Rick passed away. And I knew I was no good to you. I told her, I said, honey, book a cruise now. Let's get out of town as fast as we can. Because I just knew I was an emotional mess. My brother died. He didn't wake up on January 1st. He died January 2nd. Way too young. I was there by his side. I flew into Oklahoma City. He was right there with him when he took his last breath. But I wasn't recovering well. And I told my wife, I said, please, please get us out of town. So we get on this cruise ship. And so we're there. And we saw a young family. We were in the buffet area. And we were buffeting the buffet. And we were there. And we were eating. And a family of four came in, mom and a dad. And they walked in, and I watched them real quick. One was dragging the cutest little four-year-old girl I've ever seen. The other one, the dad was carrying one about two, and mom was dragging this little Shirley Temple, beautiful little girl, drag her in and set her down in a chair. Then they raced off and got some plates and set them down, and I'm watching the family gather rolling around. And they got on the cruise ship for the same reason we did. They got on there to make a memory, but they were making a memory with their children. Renee and I got on there to make a memory with each other and relax, they were there to make memories with their children. I'm absolutely certain that they probably sat around the table at some point and said, you know, we've been way too busy ignoring the kids. We need to get on a boat and just chill, turn off the phones, just be out there on the ocean and make some memories. Well, they sat down, and the mom sits down and goes, she pulls out her cell phone and starts thumbing through it, and her little girl's sitting right next to her, and that little girl, such a beautiful little girl in every aspect. She reaches down on her plate and picks up an olive, and I'm watching her, and she puts it on her little finger, and she's turning it and smiling. And she had me right there. I was like, oh, this is so cute. And I look over at mom, and mom's drooling and staring off into space. And I'm like, mom, look. And then the little girl picks up another olive and sticks it on there. And then she grabs another one and another one and another one. And she's got a whole chorus line of olive dancers, and they're dancing, and she's like, mommy, look, and she's trying to hold her hand out, she's got me and my wife. I made my wife stop eating. I said, turn around, look at this little girl. You got to see this. And Renee and I are grinning from ear to ear. The mother never saw it. All memories come from the art of living in the moment. Every memory you've got in your head is because you were aware of that moment and you were alive in it. What did you have for lunch yesterday? Who'd you talk to on Thursday? I say this as kindly as I know how. You're a bunch of cute people, but you're now zombies. Again, you cannot be aware of the great I am until you get in the present. This is the day. Pastor, you've already said that. Yeah, and I'm going to say it again. Because from the time that I said it the last time till now, some of you have already been in tomorrow and yesterday. Your imagination is very powerful. Having to pull yourself back in, right? Now all of you are going like this. I'm with you, Pastor. I'm with you. Go. That mother missed that moment completely. And I have a deep, abiding memory about her child that she doesn't even have. I wanted to jump up from my table and scream, "Mom! You're missing the Olive Show! Get your camera out, put it on video, and get that little smile on video. Get that little olive dance. I promise you 10 years from now, you're going to be gloating over that because her voice is going to change and she's going to be more interested in boys than she is olives, and that's going to scare you. I'm not trying to get you off in the future, by the way. I'm just, Mom, please. But I want to scream and wake you up and say, wake up. Don't you realize that Jesus is with you so much to the point that it changes your countenance and you are blessed and highly favored of God? You're a king's kid. Wake up. You don't need to be walking along with a drool like everybody else on the planet, letting the devil take you into the past regrets and the fear of the future. You need to be alive and well right here, right now. You need to be saying, hey, it's a beautiful day in God. And I don't know who it is in this room that got beat up all last week over past regrets, but you've got every right to stand up and say, devil, you should have never let me get to the house of God, because I'm finding out yesterday doesn't matter anymore, and all that matters is today. I got a mulligan. I've got a do-over. I don't have to worry about anything. Is there anybody here that feels that way right now? You know, think about it. You can let go of whatever went bad. You can let go of whatever went wrong, and you can stop worrying about the 85%+ that's never going to happen. Just enjoy the fact that you've got today. As we said earlier, the pace of life must be with the unforced rhythms of grace. You do it by walking with the great I am. Why don't you decide today to quit existing and start living? Can I help you with that? Make him Lord of your life right here, right now. Make him the pilot. Say, God, I want to know what it's like to really be alive. There are people under the sound of my voice, and you've been yo-yoing back and forth. You spend the least amount of time. The enemy has got you so trained that you're here for an hour, and then you're almost back. Maybe the phone rings and distracts you, and you're almost back, and then you have a thought, and you go here. And you're there for a while, and you just say, oh, I'm so exhausted, I can't think about this anymore. And you get up, and you try to go past and get into the presence again. And into the present, and he so easily pulled you back out. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but can I just tell you, you don't need medication from the pharmacy. Can I encourage somebody here right now? All you need is Jesus. All you need, listen, and I'm going to say it again. Without being present, you can't feel the presence. People say, Pastor, how have you seen so many miracles? How have you seen so many miraculous things? Mainly, it's because I try to stay in the present. Am I good at it? No, that's why I'm preaching about it. I'm preaching to me right now. I really am. I've been spending too much time in a chair I don't belong in. I want you to think about this for just a moment. Hasn't the worship this morning just been rich and beautiful and life-giving? Amazing. I want you to raise a hand right now and close your eyes. I want you to begin to breathe in and out again very easily without rushing, just very slow. And as you exhale, I just want you to put a smile on your face and say one name, Jesus. 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 Keep your hands up. Keep doing it. I rebuke anybody that told you that being overly busy is being extremely successful. They're wrong. Being overly popular is being successful. They were wrong. Feel His presence. I love you, Jesus. You're my great I am. You're always with me. You will never leave me nor forsake me. It doesn't matter what comes tomorrow. Doesn't matter what happened in the past. I want to be in your presence, and I refuse to be drawn away in regret or fear ever again. It's going to be my intention. God, help me walk in the power of the moment, because it's all I've got. Help me to walk in the presence, because the present, because that is where I feel your presence. You can lower your hands and look up as I close. It's a mistake to look too far ahead. Only one link of the chain of destiny can be handled at a time. That's Sir Winston Churchill. It's a mistake to look too far ahead. Only one chain link of the chain of destiny can be handled at a time. So for those of you that have got like 20 links and your arms are stretched out as far as they can, you're trying to hold up that chain, all you need to do is just grab one link, call today, and hold it. As you become aware of your present situation and your present moment, I want you to understand very clearly that you're now living deeply and richly in the presence of God. If you'll make Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and if you'll turn your very life, my times are in your hands, if you'll turn that to Him, you'll find the peace and the joy that you may not be experiencing now. I want to remind you what it says in John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. I want you to be present in this moment, because people are so busy in their minds and in their schedule. This is why the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. You know, sometimes people sit down and they say, I'm still. And your mind's running a million miles an hour. You're not still at all. There used to be an old reel-to-reel that had a big lever on it. And you could push it one way and it would back the reel up. And you push it forward and you go, you know what I'm talking about? And that's all a number of Christians have heard for a while. When all you got to do is stop and breathe. I'm so glad you're my I am. My schedule's pushing me. I'm being crushed by my own schedule. You are my very present help in a time of trouble. The world cannot stop Christians that are walking with Jesus. They can't have an impact on them. If you're here today and you've spent a lot of time in past regret and fear of the future, that means this, that really you need to challenge whether He's Lord of your life or not. You may have come down front at one time and prayed a little prayer after somebody, but He's never really been Lord, because if He was Lord, that means He's the owner of it all and He's responsible. And can I get an amen from somebody? Is there anybody here that knows that's my fault? We're not supposed to touch the bottom of the microphone. And I'm operating in such incredible power right now that it sent it right through the... So don't make me point at you. Have I been talking to anybody and you're just sick and tired of being sick and tired? And you recognize that you've been tripped up on many more times than you would like to admit. Is there really? Is there more? I've got my hand up. Does anybody else want to help me here? I want to pray for an abiding anointing to come on your life. And listen, this goes for everybody in the room. I want to pray for an abiding anointing. And you say, Pastor, I've been walking with God for a long time, but I never realized how important it was. You know, I've prayed a lot against smoking cigarettes and a lot of it against adultery, and help me, God, don't let me sin. But I've let the devil drag me at will. My walls have been completely down. I'm here a lot and I'm there a lot, and I keep forgetting that You are always with me right where I'm at. Would you come right now, wherever you're at? The altar area is an area of freedom. It's an area of deliverance. It's an area of letting things go. Are you with me? Letting things go. If you know you need to let go of the past and you need to let go of the fear of the future, I need you to come forward right now. And I just want you to keep moving down, because there's going to be a lot of people coming down for this one, I know. And just keep coming. Just keep coming. And then I want you to spread out to the right and to the left and scrunch up if you have to. Oh, I feel the power of the Holy Ghost right now. I do. I'm not trying to hype you. I'm not trying to be preachery. I'm not trying to play with my voice, but I do feel the heavy presence of God right here, right now. God so wants to be with His children. But you do realize that He is the I Am. Somebody say, Jesus, I know You're with me right here, right now, and all I need is You. I thank You that I'm free. I thank You for forgiving me. I thank You for the friends that I have. Come on, say it with me. And the love that I feel. Take another deep breath here. Breathe in slowly. Exhale very slowly and say, I love You, Jesus. Thank You for forgiving every sin I've ever committed. I thank You that I hold this moment in peace. Allow me to feel the blessings of the Lord on my life, because You are always with me right now and every moment forward for the rest of my life. I thank You, God. You're going to keep me. You're going to bless me. You're going to anoint me. You're going to strengthen me. I hope you feel what I feel right now. I feel the presence of God all over this house. Somebody be present right now. Feel after it. Feel after it. Get a hand in the air. Close your eyes. Feel for the great I Am. He says, if there are two or three are gathered, I am right there in the midst of you. Somebody take that literally. Somebody take that literally right now. Thank You for Your presence, God. Thank You for Your presence, God. Thank You for Your grace, God. Thank You for Your mercy, God. Thank You for Your love, God. Thank You, God. Thank You, God. Thank You, God.